Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. If you are a first-time visitor, we definitely want to extend a warm welcome. If everybody would mind signing their names in the attendance pads located on the end of the pews, it helps us keep an accurate count, plus report accurate numbers to our district office. If you would turn to the back of your bulletin, I'd like to highlight a few announcements. Today, immediately following the 10:45 service, there is a meeting in room 226 for this year's confirmation class. All mentors, parents, and confirmants are asked to attend this short meeting. There will be a planning retreat in the warehouse this Saturday, January the 12th, from 9 until noon. This retreat is to give us an opportunity to be part of the 2019 planning for administration, music, discipleship, missions, and many other purposes in Asbury. Come be a part of this important planning meeting. Everyone is encouraged to be more involved in 2019, whether that means serving as liturgist, a driver, being on the altar guild, or an office volunteer, or many other spots. This church thrives because of all that we do. Contact any staff member to discover where any opportunities lie. Please join me in passing the peace of Christ. Please stand and join in the call to worship. Heart songs and earth songs weave a melody of praise.
Mountains echo the refrain, stones shout for joy.
The nations learn songs of peace, children twirl in delight.
Heart songs and earth songs weave a melody of praise.
To God, the shaper of days.
To God, the maker of years.
Let us sing our hymn of praise, number 384, Love to Mind, All Loves Excelling.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. I hope everyone is having a great Sunday, enjoyed the weather this weekend. So my question this morning, not necessarily to y'all, but to the whole entire congregation this morning, is sometimes it's hard when a room is dark because you're trying to get either out of bed to get to the bathroom, or there's something across the room that you might want and you might hit something, right? Like the end of your bed, and then you hurt your foot, and life isn't good. It would hurt, that is correct. Or you'd break a toe. I have done that before. Or your leg, that's right. So this morning, I was kind of thinking about that. So what do you do when it's dark in your room? You put a what? A flashlight, or you put a nightlight, or you may open your closet door, or you might open your bedroom door just a little bit to let some light in so it's not so dark. Or you can have a flashlight. Well, I want you to know this is a super duper flashlight. My dad sent it to me. It does all kinds of things. And I said at 8:30, and it might be true, I haven't tried it yet, it might even wash my dishes for me. Do you think it will? No, it won't. Well, there's one thing about it is that you turn it on, it does light up, and it will go like it will go into a square, and then if I can get it to do it, maybe if I held it just right. Nope, didn't do it again. Pastor Doug, I might need your help on this.
I got this.
There it goes.
One more time. There it is.
See? It does all kinds of fun stuff. And so I appreciate this because when the lights go out or I need something, then I know that I have this flashlight. But there's a problem with flashlights. What happens? It runs out of batteries. That is correct. And then you have to try to find new batteries. But the cool thing about this flashlight, it has a rechargeable battery. And my dad sent me two. That's the best part. It's always looking out for me. So I like it. I like this kind of flashlight. But the reason why I brought it up was because, you know, as we're going into the new year and batteries run out, and toys that have batteries run out and you have to recharge them, who is somebody that's always there with us that we don't always have to remember that he's there? Who is with us 24/7? Jesus is with us. And he's not a battery that we have to find, and he's not a battery that we have to recharge. He's always with us. Now, we get recharged when we come to church, or we get recharged when we go to Sunday school, and we get recharged when we read the Bible and we think about him, and he recharges us. But he's not the same as a battery and a flashlight, but he's always going to be a light for us, and he's going to direct us, and he's going to be with us. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to be the light of the world. We pray that he will always light our way through life and light the way to you. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
As we come to God in prayer, I would like to recall those on the back of the bulletin. Janet Brandt, Marilyn Thompson, Becky Flynn, Anita Curtis, Clifford Smith, Leanne Wilson and family on the death of her mother, Carla Ferguson. We have one more this morning, the family of Pat Yancey on her passing. At this time, we do not have any details. Let us pray. Our most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your careful watch over us this past year. We acknowledge without you your grace and protection. The enemy would be present at every turn. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us in your loving hands, from which we
thank you. to you.
Happy New Year.
You know, 2000, Y2K, we thought the world was coming to an end. Well, it's made it 19 more years, I guess. If you're younger than 50 years old, I don't like to make blanket statements, but here's one. You probably never heard the phrase, "You're grinning like a Cheshire cat." I heard that from my grandmother on more than one occasion. For those of you that don't know, when you're accused of grinning like a Cheshire cat, that means that it's very plain you're up to no good. I was accused of that grin many times when I was a boy. Not that I got into a lot of trouble. I just never got caught. This morning, we're going to look at a biblical Cheshire cat, so to speak, who had a hidden agenda most of his life and did anything to carry out this agenda. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. And we're going to be reading in the second chapter, beginning in verse 13. And I just pray that you hear these words anew as they fall on your ears this morning, as they were penned by Matthew, given to him by the Holy Spirit. Beginning in verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was filled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Today is Epiphany Sunday, and we're going to see in these few verses that I've read, there's a lot of people that had some epiphanies. But before we get into that, and it'll be very apparent to you, hidden agendas. I think we've all met someone in our lives who had hidden agendas. In the workplace, in what we thought were friendships, just about anywhere. Now, it's hard to describe a hidden agenda person. It's kind of like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall, like a friend of mine says. Kind of that difficult. But basically, this is the type of person who is always trying to advance their own cause, usually at the expense of someone else. They're afraid of losing money. They're afraid of losing power, respect, or position. Today, we see a reaction by Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, the Holy Family, to one of these types of people, Herod the Great. Herod was a cruel man. He played both sides of the fence, as we'll see. He was never really accepted by the Jews because he was half Jewish. You see, his father was Arab and his mother was Jewish. About 60 years before the birth of Christ, Herod started in on his agenda. In Rome, he befriended two people, Mark Antony and Julius Caesar. as a result of this friendship that he struck up, he was granted a Roman citizenship, something a Jew never aspired to have. But it was in his hidden agenda. As a result of this friendship, he was given a position, a political position in Galilee. He rose through the ranks at this position, that position, that position, constantly using his hidden agenda until finally he was declared King of the Jews by Rome. He had achieved something from Rome that he would have never achieved through his own people. He had power, he had position, he had money, and he had importance. But with all of his earthly accomplishments, he was never accepted by the Jewish community, by the Jewish nation, as their king. Even though he did a lot of good things for the nation of Israel, like he restored the temple to its majesty, and he built other infrastructures, other aqueducts, a lot of stuff at the expense of the Jewish people, but with the approval from Rome. Even in all of that, he was constantly at odds with the Pharisees. They were never going to accept a Roman-appointed half-Jew as their king. Herod hung on to his power any way necessary. Now, having a Jewish mother, he would have been taught as a young child, he would have been taught the books of Moses, the Torah, and he would also have been taught the books of the prophets. He would have known, just like all of the other kids had learned, that the Messiah, prophesied the Messiah, the promised deliverer of the Jewish nation, would come one day and set up his earthly kingdom here on earth and reunite the tribes under one king, a descendant of King David. Think of it. Herod learned, the king of the Jews, Herod learned of the birth of Jesus from the Magi, who had come to worship the newly born King of the Jews and to give gifts to the new king. Once again, Herod had got to his position by having a hidden agenda, and he started exercising it once more. He told them to find this new king and to come back and tell him so that he too could go worship this new king that had been born. But you see, behind closed doors, Jesus was a threat to everything he had worked for in his life. He was going to take away Herod's recognition, his power, his money, his acceptance, and a life that no one was going to take away from him. That was Herod. But God knew Herod's heart. You see, hidden agendas are never hidden from God. Amen? Herod had a scheme to have Jesus murdered, as he did anyone he thought was a threat to him, up to and including his own sons and his wives. God spoke to the Magi in a dream. They had their own epiphany. As we know, after they saw Jesus and worshiped him and presented him with gifts, they returned to their own country by a different route, as was revealed to them, so they wouldn't get caught by Herod's army. Here was Jesus, a king born to Mary and Joseph. He wasn't just King of the Jews, but he was given that title by men. Herod was called King of the Jews by Rome, a title given to him by men. Herod, let's face it, saw Jesus as his replacement. He knew his political relationship with Rome had to stay intact. So what did he do? He abandoned his Jewish faith in favor of his own selfish human desires. Ironically, Herod sought to kill the one person who could have given him everything that his heart desired. Jesus could have given him recognition, happiness, acceptance, abundant life, and eternal life. Jesus could have given him all of this, not wanting anything in return other than belief in him, the Son of God. It could have been so easy for Herod. As we read this morning, God spoke to Joseph in a vision, and this was the second time that God had spoken to him. The first time, as we read a few weeks ago, was to tell Mary, or to tell him that Mary was going to birth a son and assure him that that son was from the Holy Spirit. Now, this message was one of protection. Joseph was not Jesus' natural father, just plain stated, but he was Jesus' legal father and was responsible for his safety and for his well-being. Thinking about that, you know, some fatherly responsibilities haven't changed much over the years, have they? God had a plan, and no power-hungry earthly king was going to interrupt it. The word that I find very interesting in the scripture is that Mary and Joseph immediately, in the middle of the night, after Joseph had awakened from getting this vision, they got up and they took Jesus, and they fled to Egypt, a place where there were many Jewish communities there. Because you see, during the great flight to Egypt, there was another famous Joseph that was second in command of everything in Egypt, the son of Jacob. After the famine was lifted, there's a lot of Jewish people stayed there in that land. The Holy Family would have been welcomed there, and Joseph was thought that he set up his carpentry shop there for a few years, until word came that Herod had indeed died. Once again, God visited Joseph in a dream and told him to return home because Herod had died. But along the way, God again spoke to Joseph. Joseph had an epiphany, and he was told, "Do not go back to Judea." Archelaus, Herod's son, was now in power. And think of it, he was more ruthless than Herod was, his dad. So they bypassed Judea and went to Nazareth. Every time God spoke to Joseph, he obeyed without question. It's funny, when we listen to God and we do what God is telling us to do in our heart, people may have accused us of having a hidden agenda. Joseph may have been accused of having a hidden agenda because he listened not to people, but to God. Even though we don't, or we may not have had hidden agendas, the repercussions of that may have been overwhelming. We may have been seen as threatening, like Jesus was to Herod, to someone's power, their authority, their position, their prestige. But we weren't. We weren't. But actions may have been taken against you and I, even though we had no such agendas, no hidden agenda. We all know Jesus didn't have a hidden agenda. His agenda was extremely clear. He came to give life, and give life more abundantly. He came to grant the riches of heaven more than any found on earth. He came to grant power, power to heal in his name, and even to move mountains if it glorified the Father. He came to lift us up and to be counted as a brother or a sister, as a joint heir with him in all of the riches of heaven. No, Herod had nothing that Jesus wanted nor needed. But Herod in his final years grew insane, insane with power, and he held on to it, even by murderous acts. But it was the person of Jesus, who was the least threat to Herod, that he tried to kill. Our lives are like this. God is ready. God is ready to steer us in ways best for us. Why? Hindsight is always 20/20, as it's said. But why? When we turn around and we look back in our life, we can see God's hand in our lives steering us from here and there. We can see it. Why, when we look to our future, we do not have that same faith that God is going to continue to steer us in the places that he wants us to go. It's that fear of the unknown. We need to release that. We need to trust God with our future as much as we did with our past. God has no hidden agendas. Even though we may be the target of an agenda from someone, in the end, God will have us victorious. He will. If, like Joseph, we listen to the Holy Spirit for guidance. God's agenda is the good news. The good news. That's it. In this new year, let's not keep that message hidden. Let's resolve to make it known to people who really need to hear it. Bottom line today, brothers and sisters, let's make God's agenda our agenda in this coming year. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I invite you to turn in your hymnal to page 12 as we begin to prepare our hearts and minds to receive Holy Communion. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another through the confession in part. Let us join together. Merciful God, we confess we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Let us join together in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Hear these instructions. As you come forward, we just ask that you cup your hand to receive the body of Christ, and then you'll be given a cup. We also have gluten-free if you desire that. Just tell myself or the person serving that you require gluten-free. This is an open table in the United Methodist Church. This is not Asbury's table. This is not a Methodist table. This is Christ's table. All are welcome to come forward and share. There will also be a plate that will be placed in the middle to receive an offering for our community outreach. This is for the people that come to this church that are in need and have to ask for help with something. So I invite everyone to please continue in this frame of mind as we prepare to extend to you this Christ table. Let us pray. Father, you have been so good to us. Your grace, your mercy, your love. You loved us so much that you sent your Son. Thank you, Father, that we live under a covenant of grace and no longer under the law. Love you for all that you have done for us. Let us in return serve you like we love you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of commitment today is "This Day of New Beginnings," so appropriate for the new year. Let us stand, please. Our prayer rail is open if you'd like to continue in this state of prayer, this mind of prayer. You're welcome to come and pray. If you'd like for me to pray with you, it would be an honor to do so. If you are here today and you'd like to unite with this faith family, then come forward and we will welcome you with open arms in the appropriate manner that we have. Please, let us stand and sing hymn number 383.
Thank you.
been here this morning, it is a good way to start a new year, is to come and worship our risen Savior. Ask that you bow, please receive this blessing. Father, go with us as we leave this building. Your Spirit does not stay here, but stays in our hearts. Let us remember that as we reach out to tell people the good news about your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the great things that awaits them if only they believe in Him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.